with us. Max is one of the students at Bear Valley Bible Institute. He's off on holiday break, and so he's come to be with us. We help support his schooling. I think his ultimate goal is either congregational work or missionary work. So we look forward not only to continue our relationship with him, but this evening he's consented to bring us the lesson. So Max, if you would, come do that.
They had plenty of money. And so the debate going on was, what are invited by some of his friends to go to a party. And he makes the choice to go to this party with his friends. He shows up, and his teenage friends are drinking alcohol, underage. He makes the choice to drink with his friends. He even gets drunk that night at that party. And then the teenage boy, at the end of the night when the party's over, he makes the decision that he's going to drive home drunk. And he's heard the horror stories. He's been given warnings by countless people not to drink and drive. But he makes that choice anyway. He ignores what the possible consequences are. How he could lose his life. How he could take someone else's life. He ignores it and he drives home. And as he drives home that night, nothing happens. He gets home safe. He goes to bed. He wakes up the next morning fine. And he thinks to himself, they were wrong. All those people who warned me were wrong. I can drive drunk. My friends can drive drunk. They've done it before. And because they don't see the consequences in that, they continue to make that poor choice over and over again. And it reminds me of something that Solomon said. And that is a way, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So what do we do then if we're going through life and our choices could be leading us towards death? How do we know right from wrong? In Psalm 1 and verse 6 it says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." If you would, you can turn now to Psalm 1. This is where most, well, all of our texts will come from tonight. And here in Psalm 1 there's going to be a comparison going on between choices of the righteous and the ungodly. And in the end, there's going to be the result of each path. And I'd like for us to look at this. And I'd like for us, by the time we're done, to notice that there is a way and there is an end. And so I'm going to take this text in two separate sections, beginning first with the way of the ungodly. In verse 1 of Psalm 1, there are three choices that the ungodly would make that are laid out here for us. And the first is that they would walk in the counsel of the wicked. Now, I'm sure most, if not all of us here, know people who are not of the church, people who are of this world, co-workers, friends, acquaintances that you see on a daily basis, but someone who is not a Christian, who does not come to church and follow God's law. We know people like that. And I'd like for us to wonder, what kind of advice can we expect to get from those people? And it's important that we think about this because the type of advice that we take is going to affect how we live our lives. Now, personally, I worked in construction for almost 6 years. And I worked with some great guys. But I know 9 times out of 10, if I had gone to them for advice, say on marriage, if I had gone to one of my coworkers and said, "Hey, I need some advice on this part of my marriage. Something's going on with my wife and I. Can you help me out?" 9 times out of 10, he would say, "Let's go get a drink after work, and we'll go talk about that." So, advice from someone who's of this world begins with, "Let's get intoxicated, and then we'll make major life decisions about your marriage." So we can see how taking advice from someone who's not trying to follow this path is a poor choice. The next thing that's laid out here is that the wicked will stand in the path of sinners. Now, we know from Romans 3:23 that we're all going to sin. We're all going to fall short of the glory of God. But here it says that they're standing in the path of sinners. This is not a mistake that they've made once and then vowed never to return to, but this is something that they're standing in or dwelling in. They're living in this sin. This is a choice that they've returned to several times, over and over and over again. This could be something that they struggle with on a daily basis, some habit that they've allowed to creep in, whether it be lust on a daily basis, or coveting. Maybe they see nice things all the time and they just wish, "Dang, I wish I could have those things." Or maybe they have nice things and they struggle with being prideful towards those things, or loving those things more than the things that should matter. But whatever it is, they've made this choice so many times that they don't know how to function without this sin in their life. And the third choice laid out here is that they sit in the seat of the scornful. Some versions say scoffers or mockers. Someone who is tearing others down rather than building them up. Someone who maybe it started as teasing, but this is bullying someone else. So let's look at the end result of this ungodly path. In verse 4, the ungodly are compared to a productive tree that was described in verse 3 that we'll look at with the righteous path. But for now, in verse 4, it compares the ungodly to that tree by saying, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away." Now, when they used to harvest their crops, they would build these arches or these tunnels that the wind would pass through. And they would take their grain and they would throw it into the air. And as the wind would blow through, their good heavy grain that they wanted to collect would fall back to the ground. But the chaff, all of the debris in between, the dirt, the specks that they didn't want, it would just be blown away. Because it was useless. There was no purpose to it. And it says, that's the path of the ungodly. It's not like that productive tree, but it's like the chaff. Useless. In verse 5, it says, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment." Now, I've thought a lot about this verse, wondering, is this saying that the ungodly won't last in the judgment? Do we know that's going to be the case? They're going to be judged and they're going to be punished. Or is this saying stand in the judgment? That on that day when they realize what's happening, when they see the mistake that they've made in choosing their path, will they hit their knees? Will they cry out? Will they beg? Will they try to change their ways at the last minute? But it'll be too late. The second half of verse 5 says, "Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." And I don't believe that this verse is saying that sinners won't gather with us when we worship on Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings. But I think this is still talking about the first part of verse 5 in the judgment. And I think it's paralleling what will be written later in Matthew 25, where the righteous and the ungodly will be separated, the sheep on God's right hand and the goats on the other. And the unrighteous will not be gathered with the righteous. They'll have their own place. And then finally, we see the end result of the ungodly in the second half of verse 6. Where it says, "But the way of the ungodly shall perish." So the end result of choosing the ungodly path is literally an end. We will perish. Destruction. Eternal punishment. And so, can we see any benefit to choosing that path? From this text, no. I would say you can't see any benefit. But people in the world, they think there is a benefit. Because they have that freedom to make whatever choice they want. Live their life, go to those parties, follow some other path. But it's useless. Just like the chaff, it's going to lead to destruction. And since we obviously don't want to follow a path that's going to lead to destruction, let's take a look at this other path described here, in the path of the righteous. Now, first of all, the choices of the righteous are going to have to be those ones that it says not to make in verse 1. But the righteous is to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. When a Christian needs advice in an issue in their life, they should seek advice from another Christian. Because they're also trying to follow that path, and the advice that they will give you will influence you to stay on that path. Next, they're not to stand in the path of sinners. As I said, we're going to mess up from time to time. But when we make those mistakes, we need to realize the potential of the slippery slope that could lead to. And we need to turn around from that immediately. And then, the righteous are not to sit in the seat of the scornful. We're to build one another up. We're to encourage people, not only just study that we just flip through, we pick a page and we just point and say, I'm going to read this verse right here, I'm going to study this, and this is what's going to make me grow today? I don't think that's what it's saying either. I think that there's more purpose to this. There's more specifics involved to it. When I was a teenager, I went through a period in my life where something had happened, and I was kind of just drifting. I was kind of lost for a while. I was struggling with some depression, and I was looking for some purpose, something that would make everything right again. And I continued going to church, I continued studying the Bible, hoping I was going to find something that would fix that. And one day, I started reading Ecclesiastes. And I've heard some people say that Ecclesiastes is a depressing book, but when I started reading it, I thought, I'm going to find it here. I'm going to find that answer I've been looking for. And I started reading what Solomon was saying, and I thought, yes, Solomon in all his wisdom is going to have something for me. And I read through the book thinking I was going to find some secret, some hint that I hadn't seen before, but something that was going to make everything right again. And when I got to the end and I read his conclusion, fear God and keep his commandments, I'll admit I was a little disappointed in that. Because being a teenager, I guess I thought I was about to stumble on some secret, and I felt like it was something I already knew. But I continued to think about that verse, kind of turn it over in my head, or even meditate on it. And I don't mean that I was sitting cross-legged on the floor humming with my eyes closed, but I mean I continued to think about that verse. Why was that Solomon's conclusion in all his wisdom? And it got to the point where when I have to make a major decision, I'll ask myself, in making this decision, am I fearing God and keeping his commandments? And that verse will help to guide me to stay on this path. And there are other scriptures like that. There are different roles that we all play. Husbands, wives, sons, daughters, mothers, fathers. And the scripture tells us how to walk this path in those different roles. And we should seek out those scriptures to know what are the right choices to make. How do we stay on this path? We need to study that and meditate on those scriptures. Keep that in your mind. That way when you come to that fork in the road, you know what the right choice is. In verse 3 it says, talking about the blessed man, blessed is the man who follows those ways. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And what does that mean for us to be a tree planted by the rivers of water? Well, for that tree, the water is its life source. Depending upon how closely that tree is planted to the water, that's going to dictate how that tree is going to grow and mature and how healthy it will be. The Word of God is our life force. And depending on how closely we are planted in the Word of God, this will dictate how we grow, how we mature, and how healthy we will be. It's building off of the verse before it, talking about how we need to delight in the law of the Lord. And then finally, we see the result of this righteous path in verse 6, where it says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. And at first that seems like a vague conclusion to the way of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. But what we just looked at here in this first psalm is a comparison between the way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly. And they're always polar opposites of one another. And so when we read this conclusion, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish, well then the way of the righteous shall not perish. Never perish. back on that path. And I know sometimes people seem content to sit there living in their sin, and sometimes people will justify it or rationalize it, saying, I can change some other time. I can change eventually. But you don't know when that judgment day is going to come. When an invitation is given, you don't know that you'll have this